is Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. Joel 2, 28 through 32. He writes of an event that was to him to come to pass way in the future. Listen to the word of God. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." This ends the reading of God's Word. Let us pray. We do thank you, our Father, for this holy Word. Thank you that your Spirit gave this word to the prophet Joel many hundreds of years ago, and that it was fulfilled in the first century and is still being fulfilled. Let us believe it. Let us put it into practice. Let us hear what it says about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we should serve Him. Amen. The people of Judah were in trouble, and the Lord was warning them of their turning away from Him and their sin and their need to repent. The Lord had sent as a warning to them a plague of locusts which had devastated the land, caused them to go into a famine. They, because of that, did not have the ingredients for their sacrifices, could not worship as normal. And then the Lord had told them that there would come an invading army if they did not turn from their sins, and there would be severe destruction. He called them to repentance. And then He told them what would happen if they did repent. There would be blessings that were material. The crops would grow back. They would be blessed materially. They would be able to resume worship as normal. And there would be spiritual blessings as well. And this text this evening continues in the spiritual blessings that the Lord would bestow upon them when they turned from their sins and returned to Him. Joel looks far into the future, and he talks about the coming of the Spirit, which Acts chapter 2 records in the New Testament. Of course, the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament period. The Holy Spirit was active in creation, even. The Holy Spirit has always existed, but the Holy Spirit would come in His fullness at a time in the future from the viewpoint of Joel, and He would make a big difference. So the Lord is telling us here that the Father and the Son will send the Spirit, and that God's revelation of Himself and His will would become fuller and reach a climactic level after the coming of His Son and the sending of the Spirit, and the New Age would begin. The New Age is a time of salvation, and the church is equipped by the Spirit and Word for the task of spreading the gospel throughout the world. And we Christians are equipped to be His witnesses and to live the Christian life. In the day of salvation, in this new age, people are called upon to call upon the name of the Lord. The Spirit now lives in His church and in each individual Christian. And we are told to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as the Spirit was sent to do. So this evening, my title is, I Will Pour Out My Spirit, under three headings. First, the Spirit. Second, the wonders that God would do. And thirdly, the salvation that God would bring. First of all, the Spirit, in verses 28 and 29. In verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He says it will come to pass afterward. He looks to the future. He is speaking hundreds of years before the coming of the Messiah. But advancing to that time, and then after the Messiah had come and ascended back to heaven, when the Spirit would come, the Spirit of the Lord, to the last days, the new age, and He would be poured out. There would not just be a trickle, but He would be poured out in abundance, which He was at Pentecost. He'd be poured out by the Father. He says in verse 28, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. But the Son would also send the Spirit, and did send the Spirit. In Acts 2:33, beyond what we read earlier, Acts 2:33 says, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, Jesus, has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Acts 2, verse 32. So the Father and the Son poured out the Spirit, and the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, not just Jewish people, not just male people, but female people as well, and Gentile people as well. Sons and daughters will prophesy, verse 28 says, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. And then in verse 29, even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. We see in the book of Acts how the Gentiles were brought into the church. We see how Cornelius, a Gentile, had a vision. And in that vision, he was told to call for Peter. Peter had a dream, a vision. And Peter went to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And Gentiles were gathered there. And Gentiles responded to the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. So, prophecy will happen. Messages from God will be declared. And on that day of Pentecost, they were declared not just by official prophets and apostles, but by many different people, as Joel predicts here. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So for the feast, people were gathered to Jerusalem from different nations, and we read them. So there are different languages represented. And what happens when you have people of a different language gathered together? Well, some of them can't understand the person who is speaking in one language. But there were present that day people to whom the Spirit gave the immediate gift of speaking in another language that they had never studied. And many of you have studied a language foreign to you, as I have. And I didn't learn any of those I didn't learn any of them very well, but I didn't learn any of those languages in 2 weeks. And I didn't listen to a tape for 2 weeks and learn the language either. It takes time. But this was an instantaneous, immediate gift, so that people heard in their own language other tongues. And then there were dreams. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Cornelius and Peter and Paul had visions. All this happened when the Spirit was poured out. So in comparison with the Old Testament people of God, the manifestation of the Spirit after Christ came and ascended to heaven is much more abundant. There were extraordinary gifts bestowed upon the church in the first century. The revelation of God was more widely spread as never before and is still being spread. The gospel itself, the general teaching of Scripture, continues today even after the miraculous gifts died out. So Joel was writing about the age of the Messiah. He was writing about today, the age in which you and I live. And here are some of the other things about the Spirit that Joel does not mention, but that also happened when he was poured out. Jesus predicted this in John 16:13-15. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has given, that the Father has, are mine. Therefore, I said to you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 16:13-15. So the Spirit that would be poured out, that Joel talked about, the Spirit would guide men into all truth. And the apostles, especially, and the writers of the New Testament, would be given the Spirit in this special way to write the teachings of Jesus and further revelations from God, and thus we have the New Testament. He would lead them into all truth. He would lead every Christian, as he leads today, every Christian to understand the canonized Scripture and the truth of God. And that's why we pray when we study the Scripture and when we hear it preached. The Holy Spirit would be the leader in glorifying Jesus. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ. He gives the attention to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he lives in us to do the same thing as well. And again, in Acts, I want to refer to Acts chapter 1. What instructions Jesus gave before the Spirit came, which tells us something about the Spirit as well. In Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, "And while staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem." This is Acts 1:4. "But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Acts 1:4-8. And so this tells us also that when the Spirit was poured out, even before the Spirit was poured out, Jesus instructed his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay there until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Stay there until the Spirit is poured out. If you leave, you will miss that blessing. If you leave and are not there for the outpouring of the Spirit, you will not be equipped to be my witnesses. The Spirit empowers us to be Christ's witnesses. And one more thing about the Spirit that Joel did not record in my text, and that Ezekiel recorded that we read earlier. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. The Lord says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. The Spirit within us enables us to walk in the Lord's statutes, enables us to obey Him, to render obedience and glorify Him so that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So first of all, the Father and the Son pour out the Spirit. Secondly, the wonders the Lord performs in connection with the pouring out of the Spirit in verses 30 and 31. In verse 30, he says, Joel 2, verse 30, and I will show you wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. These wonders are miracles, of course, that God shows his people as signs of his power and glory and of what he is doing. What kind of wonders? Well, there would be blood and fire and columns of smoke. We didn't expect that, did we? Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The wonders that God would do. Blood, as in the moon appearing in a red color, as fire from lightnings setting things on fire, or fire from the destruction of war, or fire that God sends to indicate judgment, and smoke from the fires, a sign that God is working all these signs. In verse 31, he goes on, the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Signs in the skies and the heavens, wonders performed by God. When? Verse 31, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. These signs seem to accompany God's judgment. The days of the Lord. The destruction of Jerusalem in 586. The destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of time. I think we'll see this again. Jesus speaks in similar language in Matthew 24, 7, 29, and 30. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, 7, 29, and 30. God gives us signs when He's doing something strange. When He's judging. And there was a foretaste of this when he was judging his son on the cross as he died. There was darkness on the land from noon till 3 p.m. because the Father was judging the sins of his people in his only begotten Son. The wrath of God came down on him, and the whole creation, as it were, indicated that it was happening. Thus, verse 31 says, the day of the Lord is a great and awesome day. It's a day that we should take note of. It is a day that He faithfully warns us of and prepares us for throughout history and the various days of the Lord leading up to the last day of the Lord. We need to realize the importance of the Lord's fair and just judgment and the necessity of it. Secondly, the wonders from God accompany His acts of judgment. Thirdly, there is salvation. In the day of the Lord there is salvation. In verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those on whom the Lord calls." God warns us to repent. And then He says, if you do, and if you call upon My name, I will save you. If you pray to Me, if you call upon Me, the Lord says, in earnest, I will answer and I will save you. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not only Jews, but also Gentiles. All those who call upon Him. We must call upon Him. We must ask Him to save us. It's vitally important. Salvation is not automatic. It's something that comes through our calling upon the Lord, our trusting in Him with all our hearts to save us. It is a sincere, serious relationship in which we have communion with the Lord and communication with the Lord. And so the Lord tells the people in the Old Testament period He will deliver them. He will deliver them from famine. He will deliver them from the coming army. He will deliver them from their sins. He will deliver them from exile, but ultimately from their sin. Paul uses this concept in Romans 10. In Romans 10, 9 and 13, Paul writes that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 13. This Joel was talking about. Joel uses the term Lord, Yahweh. Paul uses the term Lord, Jesus. Whoever calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ and believes in Him as Lord. Joel looks forward to that day. This will happen in Mount Zion and Jerusalem. People will escape. People will be survivors because of the salvation of the Lord. They will be survivors whom He has called. Verse 32, among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Yes, we call upon the Lord for salvation because He first called us. Well, the Lord calls many people, doesn't He? With the outward call, we call as many people as we can. But this is the inward call. This is the inward call of the Spirit of God. This is the call that draws. That draws people to the Lord in salvation. Those who are called are justified and glorified and sanctified. They're called internally by the drawing power of God. So how shall we escape condemnation at the final judgment? Only through Jesus Christ, calling upon Him and repenting of our sins. "I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh," says the Lord. And He's done that. He's poured out His Spirit on you, His people. The Holy Spirit lives inside you to empower you for witness, to give you the strength to obey your Lord. Yes, the Lord says, "I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh." Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, our Father, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your Spirit. We pray that you will use him and his word to mature us spiritually, to cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that we may shine as lights in this world of darkness and glorify your name. Amen.